Greetings. We do bring you greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus, thanking God for another Sabbath day in the School of Wisdom. We are the Church of God, and we are established in Jesus' name. At this time, I present unto you our great pastor and teacher, Perry Boyd.
Thank God for you, evangelists, to our elders, missionary, deacons, all the saints, all that hear my voice. We do greet you in the name of Jesus, another Sabbath day. Glad to be with you. We're going to get right underway with our program. We want to start Blameless Choir. Thank God for you.
My God, in whom I delight, make me whole, purify.
God for the choir. Want to be blameless. Thank God for our Elder Miles. He's going to get to the piano. Our sister Tatum has a poem that she's going to be reciting. We're glad for these poems. These have been with God some years now, and they're yet on the journey, on the highway of holiness. And I'm thanking God for our Sister Tatum. Sister Tatum, thank God.
Just thanking God for being in God's church on another Sabbath day. Thank God. This day, oh Lord, is such a beautiful sunny day with no dark clouds in sight. It's how I want my soul to shine inside with your bright light. You blessed me to wake up this morning with you, Lord, on my mind. And I'm so thankful and so grateful I'm saved in this day and time. God's everything we need. He's hope when there's nothing to hope for. He's a friend when there's great despair. He's strength in a time of weakness. He's there when you need a prayer. He's peace in a time of trouble. He's comfort in a time of pain. He's joy in a time of sorrow. In a drought, he's much needed rain. He's safety in a time of danger. He's security in a time of peace. He's light in a time of darkness. His presence is always near. He's never late when you need him. He's always there on time. And he's everything we'll ever need to give us a peace of mind.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Sister Tatum. Thank God for Elder Miles. That was beautiful. We are God's covenant church. We are the church of God, and we are established in Jesus' name. And we do greet you today in the name of Jesus. Because of the life of our great Bishop Barfield, our great Bishop Philip, and our great Bishop Dorothy, we're here today. Yes. And we're continuing steadfast in the prophets and the apostles' doctrine. And we hope you enjoy these broadcasts. And I ask you, if you enjoy these broadcasts, you contact us. Give us your name and some type of correspondence, and we will get back to you. It's wonderful to hear those who love God's word. Deacon Debbie?
You can visit us anytime for our broadcast messages on the World Wide Web at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Write and mail us at 425 Laconia Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90061. Or call us anytime at area code 323-754-8302. You can email us at info@godscovenantchurch.org. Now the pastor.
Thank God for you, Deacon. We are a small group, but we are a multitude of righteousness. Now, that's what the scripture says. The Lord told Abraham, if you can find 10 righteous in Sodom, I will spare the city. And I'm reflecting back on that song, Blameless. This is what our thought is today about perfection in God. And I know that word is such a taboo today, and it's gone out of the hearts of men and women for eons now. Everybody says no one's perfect. That's a lie. Lord said, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And ones have always lived perfect for God. He's always been left with a witness. And in the poem that Sister Tatum recited, thanking God for security, how he's our security when there's a time when there's no security. All of those things she's saying is true, but you have to fight for it. They don't just come. You have to fight for God to be everything to you. He is our righteousness, and you have to fight for that. And he, when he becomes your righteousness, you are righteous. Isn't that beautiful? Now let's go to Job 1:1. I'm talking about perfection. That means pleasing God. That means living holy. That means living sinless. And I know this is strange to many ears because you've heard, well, Jesus paid the price. He did it all because I couldn't. That's a lie. Does Jesus bear the cross and the whole world go free? I don't think so. Everyone must take up the cross, take up God's word, and follow the Lord through somebody, or you're not following the Lord. You must apply the cross, God's word, to yourself, to the old man, that the new man may follow the Lord. Job 1 and 1, what does it say?
There was a man in the land of Uz, mm-hmm. whose name was Job.
Everybody know about Job. But these preachers from eons do not reflect on what Job really was all about. What his substance was. His name was Job and what?
And that man was perfect.
That man was perfect.
And upright.
Upright.
And one that feared God.
He feared God, not the lightning and earthquakes. That's God. No, that's not necessarily God. He feared God because he feared disobeying God's word. Yes. That's when you fear God.
Yes.
I want you to hear this again. His name was Job. That man, what?
Uh-huh. That man was perfect.
That man was perfect.
And upright.
And he was upright.
And one that feared God.
He feared God.
And eschewed evil.
You know who that was? That was my brother. His name was Job.
Yes. Yes.
I'm like my brother.
Yes.
He's also a father. He's of the fathers. Job was like his brother and his father Abraham.
Right.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
He was perfect.
Yes.
Upright.
Yes.
And he feared God.
Yes.
And he eschewed evil.
Yes.
Let's go to Genesis 12.
Mm-hmm.
12 and 1. Job was like Noah. Noah feared God.
Yes.
Noah was just and perfect in his generation. Isn't that beautiful? I know some listening to this broadcast don't like to hear that. And you probably don't like to hear because you're not used to hearing it. It's strange to your ears. But as the Lord said, what I say to one, I say to all. Isn't that beautiful? Genesis rather, 12 and 1. What does it say?
Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred mm-hmm. and from thy father's
well,
house.
Now the Lord told Abraham the same thing he's telling us today. Mm-hmm. Except a man deny himself, take up the cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple.
Yes.
Deny mother, father, sister, brother means come out of thy country and thy kindred.
Yes.
Take up the cross means follow me, follow mm-hmm. God, follow his word.
Yes.
What?
And from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee.
This land God showed us is the land of milk and honey. His word, what?
And I will make of thee a great nation.
Great nation, what?
And I will bless thee.
What?
And make thy name great.
What?
And thou shalt be a blessing.
What?
And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee.
Now God has made all his promises to Abraham and he's made the same promises to us.
Yes.
But here's the secret. When he called Abraham, he didn't tell Abraham what the end was going to be. Many of us, when we first began to hear about God, he died for our sins, we were ready to come. But there's more that God wants to tell us in this journey.
Yes.
17 and 1 says, well, let's go there.
Mm-hmm.
17, Genesis 17 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham did what God told him to do. And on his journey, he did things maybe ones would feel was out of order or against God. God was watching him all the time. But everything Abram did was in the will of God. Then he came to 17 and 1. What did he say?
And when Abram was 90 years old,
he got old in his age, 90 and
nine,
which was yet young because he lived to be 160 some years old. Mm-hmm. But he was 90 and nine, what?
And the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him,
what?
I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect.
Now I want you to walk before me and let's tap all the loose ends. Be thou perfect. Mm-hmm. Because God wants to perfect us before we leave here.
Yes.
Wants to get the slate clean.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
That's no different than what Noah did. Right. Let's go to Isaiah 51 mm-hmm. and 1. So perfection is not anything new. God called for perfection in the days of Noah, and he's been calling for perfection from day one. It's been a secret. Isaiah 51 and 1, what does it say?
Hearken.
Hearken.
To me, ye that follow after righteousness.
What?
Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged.
What?
Look unto Abraham.
So now let's look unto Father Abraham. He was perfect.
Yes,
Lord said, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Mm-hmm. Look unto Abraham, your father. What?
Your father, and unto Sarah that bare you.
What?
For I called him alone.
Now he called Abraham alone. That means no one else in his time God was dealing with. Like unto Noah. Mm-hmm. Abraham alone did I call, what?
And blessed him and increased
him. He increased him. From the time he began to walk with God, he made him more fruitful.
Yes.
Fruitful in the spirit. And he went on to perfection.
Yes, he did.
Let's go to Matthew 5 mm-hmm. and 3. Now, I'm going to Matthew. I want to make note of how so many so-called Christians, they love the Beatitudes. It's not an attitude, it's a way. But they, these preachers have told you it's an attitude. No, it's a way. And if you don't take on this way, all the attitudes you have means nothing. 5 and 3, what does it say?
Blessed are the poor.
The poor are blessed. Mm-hmm. The poor in spirit are blessed people. Poor in spirit means those that don't reject God, but are so poor where they need God. Poor in spirit, what?
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Now read the 5th verse. What is this? 5 and 6, what does it say?
Blessed are the meek.
Blessed are the meek.
For they shall inherit the earth.
What?
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
How many know that righteousness is keeping God's commandments? As the scripture said, it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments. They said, but the Lord is our righteousness. That's true. But if you're in the Lord, you're in his word. That means you're keeping his word. Isn't that beautiful? 8th verse, what does it say?
Blessed are the pure in heart.
Yes.
For they shall see God.
Now, wait a minute. How can you be pure in heart if you're not perfect?
That's right.
Because that means if you're pure in heart, there's no imperfection in your mind.
That's right.
In your heart.
Yes.
The only thing brings forth impurity is sin.
Yes.
How many know that? And you're blessed if your heart is pure. Yes. Here's what I want to get to. This is, they love to say, this is the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. Go to 48. Let's see what 48 said. They love to quote the Beatitudes, but they always fall short of the 48th verse. Mm-hmm. What did it say?
Be ye therefore perfect.
Now, the Beatitudes is in this Sermon on the Mount, and the Lord summed it up. Be ye therefore perfect. What?
Even as your Father.
Even as your Father.
Which is in heaven.
What?
Is perfect.
What's wrong with you all quoting that one as your primary attitude? If you have an attitude, Why not pick up that one?
That's right.
How about perfection over anything else? Because perfection is righteousness.
Yes.
It is pure in heart. It's all the same thing. It is what make you meet.
Mm-hmm.
Read it again.
Uh-huh. Be ye therefore perfect.
Be ye therefore perfect. Now, why would the Lord tell you to be perfect if you cannot attain this? What?
Even. As your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect.
Father Abraham was perfect.
Yes, he was.
Father Job.
Yes.
Father Noah.
Yes.
That's my brother.
Yes. Beautiful.
Let's go to Ephesians 4:11. Let's go there.
All right.
So it's all about, they say, oh, well, you know, we have the Great Commission. You ain't got no Great Commission. God ain't gave you no Great Commission. That's something you made up. If God gave you a charge, he gave you the same charge he gave all of his anointed. To preach perfection. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Because God don't want anything less. Why preach something weak and beggarly when God wants the best?
Yes.
And you're able to obtain it in God. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Why don't you want the best? You want the best when you go drive that car. Go downtown and say, I want the best. And they say, how much money you get? I ain't got no money. So get out of here. You can't get the best. But we got God.
Yeah.
We can get the best. Perfection. That's beautiful. Even as the Father. Ephesians 4:11, what does it say?
And he gave some apostles.
What?
And some prophets.
Now these are the ones that God gave after perfection. What?
Mm-hmm. And some prophets.
Some prophets.
And some evangelists.
What?
And some pastors.
What?
And teachers.
What are they for?
For the perfecting of the saints.
How many of you preachers preaching for the perfecting
of the saints?
Of the saints. What?
For the work of the
now
ministry.
Now that's the work of the ministry, not to tell somebody Jesus died for your sins. We know that. If you don't know that, once we tell you that, to obtain and to maintain that, you keep God's word. Perfection. What?
For the edifying of the body of
this
Christ.
This is to edify the body. I'm striving right now to edify the so-called body out there, those that hear my voice.
Yes.
If you're not keeping God's commandments, you're truly not in the body. Mm-hmm. What?
Till we all. Come in the unity of the faith.
What?
And of the knowledge of the Son
it's
of God.
About the knowledge. Let's talk about Jesus being perfect. Not that he was the only one perfect. But that he is perfect and he's calling for perfection, saying, even as the Father is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's calling for. That's the knowledge of the Son.
Yes.
He wants us to be perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect. Till we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God, what?
Unto a perfect
man. Unto a perfect. What? So what you talking about? So now what they talk about is something different. You don't know God.
That's right.
God is only talking about one thing in this. In the scriptures. Perfection is pleasing and walking in God's word.
Yes, it is.
Blameless.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Till we all come in the unity of the faith.
What?
And of the knowledge of the Son of God.
What?
Unto a perfect
unto
man.
Unto a perfect man. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Unto the measure.
And the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Let's go back to Brother Job. I love to read how he was perfect.
Yes, yes.
You jackleg preachers on the other end of this mic don't like to talk about that. Sit up that. You know what? I don't like you because you're calling them jackleg. Well, that's what they are. They're taking God's people that would the wrong way.
That's right.
You that would hear my voice, get off that highway. Get on the highway of holiness.
Yes.
Job 1:1, what does it say?
There was a man. In the land of Uz.
What?
Whose name was Job.
What?
And that man was perfect.
Man was perfect. What?
And upright.
Upright. That means he had integrity.
Mm-hmm.
He was righteous. What?
Yes. And one that feared God.
That means he kept God's commandments. Psalms 19:7.
Mm-hmm.
If he was perfect, you got to have God's word to get there.
Yes.
That's why these preachers say you can't be perfect because they don't have God's word. And if you don't have the word in its entirety, you cannot please God or be perfect. Psalms 19:7, what does it say?
The law of the Lord is perfect.
That's why You don't find perfection out here amongst these churchgoers, the so-called Christians, and you have so many different, they're factions, that's what they are. Mm-hmm. They're not the body, they're factions like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Those are factions. God ain't never instituted that mess.
No.
They weren't called Pharisees or Sadducees under Moses. It was holiness unto the Lord. They had priests.
Yes.
They had scribes, but they weren't called Sadducees.
No, Sad.
Or fair, you see. It wasn't like that. That's somebody made up that mess. They had God's word fairly. And it was sad what they saw about God's word. Read.
The law of the Lord is perfect.
It's perfect. What?
Converting the soul.
Now the law of God, his word, will turn your soul around to perfection.
Yes.
It'll perfect it.
Yes.
It'll keep you from having God before God. Yes. And it'll keep you from making graven. It turns you around.
Yes.
It perfects you.
Yes.
Converting the soul, what?
The testimony of the Lord is sure.
Now listen up. Everyone hear my voice. God said David was a man after his own heart.
Yes.
The testimony, God's law, is sure. Mm-hmm. So why would God come, rise up another day and say, that's the day of rest, when it says in his word, remember the Sabbath day. It's sure.
That's right.
That means he wasn't sure about it, what he said. Mm-hmm. But it's sure.
He's sure.
That means you cannot change it.
That's right.
Because the word of God changes not. Mm-hmm. And you can't pick your day. God numbered the day, the seventh day. Is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm.
Testimony of the Lord is sure. What?
Making wise the simple.
So I believe it says in Deuteronomy, keep therefore and do them. It's your wisdom. Makes you wise.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Let's go to Psalms 37 mm-hmm. and 37. Okay, nobody. Well, nobody perfect but the Lord. You are a liar.
All right. That's right.
I want you to open up your windows.
So you can hear it.
If you're in your car, turn up your PC or your radio and say, Pastor Boyd said you're liars if you say you can't live perfect.
That's right.
Tell
That's
the world.
Right.
I'm
right.
telling you.
That's right.
You're liars.
That's right.
That's right.
Psalms 37:37 says what?
37:37. Thank God.
It says,
Mark. The perfect man.
Now, how can you mark a man that's not perfect if he's not perfect? I mean, how can you mark a man that's perfect if he's not perfect?
Right.
How you gonna mark somebody you don't have? But David said, mark the perfect man, what?
And behold, the upright.
I believe I'm marking Job, Brother Job.
All right.
I'm marking Brother David.
Yes.
But I know that carnal mind said, look what David did. God forgave him, and he went on to perfection. I believe he said, if you confess,
yes,
the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
You'll go on to perfection.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
What?
For the end of that man is peace.
Well, I understand. Great peace have they which love thy law. And I believe David panted for God's law. Isn't
yes,
that beautiful?
He did.
He loved God's word.
Yes,
he loved
did.
God.
He did.
Let's go to Malachi 2:6. That beautiful? Mark the perfect man. And behold the upright. Wait a minute. Read the 31st verse there. Let's read the 31st verse. What does that say? 37 and 31. What does it say?
31. It says the law of his God is in his heart.
Oh, wait a minute. That's what made him perfect. Mm-hmm. Mark the perfect man. Mm-hmm. Because the law of his God is in his heart. What?
None of his steps shall slide.
That means he's not sinning.
Mm-hmm.
None of his steps shall slide. Now. Let's go to Malachi 2:6.
Malachi.
Let's see if Malachi, Brother Malachi, had the same testimony.
All right.
Brother Malachi came after David.
Yes.
He had the same mindset about the law, because David said, thy word have I hid in my heart,
yes,
that I might not sin against thee. Malachi 2:6 says what?
The law of truth.
What?
Was in his mouth.
Well, it says, thy word is truth. Thy righteousness never left in righteousness. Thy law is true.
Yes.
Law of truth was in
his mouth.
What?
And iniquity was not found in his
lips. Other words, he was not pretending to keep God's word.
Mm-hmm.
It was truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips.
Yes.
Because what's in you coming out.
Yes.
What?
He walked with me in peace.
Peace.
And equity.
That means he kept God's word.
Yes.
And he had equity. In other words, he had a life built up in God.
Yes.
Equity. Integrity.
Isn't that beautiful?
What?
And did turn many,
he turned many
away from iniquity.
Isn't that beautiful? Turned many from iniquity. Let's go to Psalms 19 and 11. Let's go there.
All right.
This is about perfection. And all those that believe you cannot live perfect, you're living beneath your privilege. And more likely, if you're living beneath your privilege, it's because you're not in God. And you don't know him. That's what